Morning all. Time for the podcast week 27. We'll have week 28 following pretty quickly. Bit of a shambles on timing, that's my fault. And as promised, an Alpine special. Back from the trip to the Alps. Ooh, that was hard. It was hard work. It was a real test of endurance as well, with the length of the transfers in the car and queuing at Calais and all of those sort of things that British holidaymakers have to endure to get where they need to go. But a fantastic trip. So massive thanks to Dave and to Andy and Ian for having me along as a late substitute. It was really good and thoroughly enjoyed it. And what I wanted to use the show for really was to, you know, the original plan was to do the show from the Alps or from the resort of Vosgenais. The Wi-Fi up there was at best average. And also, I don't know whether that's an altitude thing, but it seemed to have a fantastic ability to drain my phone battery. And my phone battery actually was pretty manky for the whole duration. The plan was to even as far as to record it in the car on the way back. And the 1% didn't last too much time on my phone. So if you were looking forward to hearing from the other guys on the trip, we may have them on in a future episode. We're going to have maybe a reunion barbecue and some cider that is going to be brewed. So that might be one well worth a listen. In terms of the trip and the logistics and everything of it, you may remember, listeners who've been with us for a while, back in the end of March, April time, one of the shows was based on the how easy it is to get to the Northern Flemish Classics, and we did a little guide on the best ways that we found to make it, and the most cost-effective ways to make it, because not everyone in the world, certainly not me, can or is in the position where, you know, we could do a halt route or something like that, where we could get, you know, everything organised and orchestrated. So in fact, some ways it's nice to do the trip yourself anyway, isn't it, to do all of the logistical part yourself. So kind of like the trip started with a 1 o'clock 1 o'clock departure from Peterborough in the van down to the Eurotunnel. It actually was really, really smooth, although as soon as the train started rocking, we were all out cold. And as the dawn broke, as we kind of headed across northern France towards Reims and then down pretty much through the centre of the country, through the Champagne region, lovely scenery. One of the interesting things was that every service area that we stopped at seemed to crank up the temperature by, it felt like, about 10 degrees. In reality, it probably wasn't that much less than 10 degrees, to be honest. And suddenly, we found ourselves kind of feeling the heat, as it were. And it was proper, proper warm. So we got down towards Grenoble and into the Alps by sort of half four, 5 o'clock-ish. So, you know, it was a good 11 hours drive across France, down France. So not necessarily one that I was sitting thinking, oh, we could undertake this with the kids. So I don't necessarily think that it's a family-friendly drive, certainly if your kids are as young as mine. But what it was lovely, beautiful and scenic, and it kind of whets the appetite, whets the excitement level as it draws you into the Alps. And they gradually get bigger. The peaks gradually get bigger and bigger and bigger as the motorways kind of get more and more remote and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then you hit Grenoble, and from there, you're pretty much into the peaks. One great thing was driving through Vizille, the former residence of Thierry Claverolla, the 1990 King of the Mountains. But every little town and village you went through, there's probably a story about a pro or an ex-King of the Mountains or something like that, that, you know, an ex-stage winner in the Dauphiné. The place just drips with cycling history. And before very long, we were climbing Vosgenais in the van. Not a place that's rich in cycling history yet, but the Dauphiné had a stage finish there this year. And despite what the guy in the hotel said about, well, I don't think it's big enough for the Tour de France at the top, I've read a couple of articles now where Vogenet does want the Tour de France. From Vogenet, you can see across to the back side of Alpe d'Huez, and pretty much as soon as we got there, we were driving Alpe d'Huez in the van just to have a little look at the severity, and yeah, it was pretty mind-blowing how exposed bits of it are, how varied the gradient is, and you know, people that you talk to couldn't believe that yeah, okay, we regularly ride at sort of -1, -2 meters to sea level, even more, just because of how flat and how in a bowl the fens are. And for a lot of residents of the Alps, they couldn't quite comprehend how that could work. Just as, you know, for us, we couldn't comprehend having to have a 20-minute climb on a bike up a mountain just to you know, come back from the shops with your loaf of bread. It's a phenomenal, but it's a lovely, it's a great way of life. And you know, I suppose each has their own culture and their own way. I'm not entirely convinced I could adapt to alpine life, but I'm equally as convinced that, you know, the people that were up there living at altitude probably couldn't adjust to living around here. So very very interesting cultural differences. The hotel we stayed, and they're not paying me to say this, but I will anyway, was beautiful. It's called Sol Neige, so sun and snow. And well worth a look on the internet and well worth a visit. Fortunately, they were very good at catering for cyclists, hungry cyclists, so they had plenty of food available. Scrambled eggs, always good if you're riding a bike. And most importantly of all, a hot tub, which got a particularly good use. Must have looked odd to any passing motorist for blokes in their late 30s, 40s loitering around in a hot tub, but hey, when in the Alps, do as the alpinistas do. One interesting thing about like Bourg d'Oisans and Alpe d'Huez is that, you know, you always see the Tour racing through and racing up. You don't necessarily quite get an idea of the scale of how much in, even, you know, and we were the first week of the off season, but even then, how actual it's geared up. It's like a cycling, it's like how you would design a cycling resort. You've got Bourg d'Oisans in the bottom with some restaurants and bike shops and all the kind of things you need, and you've got the brutality of Alpe d'Huez, and then you've also got the at the top there, you've got some food and some souvenir shops, and you know, it's almost like the top of Blackpool Tower. Interestingly as well, the from the Alp, it's definitely worth doing a bit of research before you go up, because there was a number of people that kind of, when you get into the town, you almost go above the Tour de France finish to drop back down and then go back up again. So there's a bit of big ring like downhill in the actual town. It's reasonably well signposted, but not well enough that, you know, quite a lot of people did kind of miss it and come from different directions and out of different side roads and stuff to go. So it's yeah, that's one thing I would advise the Alpe d'Huez Tourist Board to update. Other than that, they've got everything nailed on, from commemorative jerseys to you know, to mile mark, everything that you could possibly need to mark the Alps. So well done to them, and obviously well done to the guys, because they did another day up to the Croix de Fer and the Glandon as well. So maximum respect to them. And then it kind of, the trip was over more or less, and you know, a couple of dinners on the terrace, some great other guests at the hotel, everyone kind of ate together at one communal table, which can kind of be intimidating in some ways, but was really nice actually. It was lovely to do. And so we found ourselves hurtling back northwards in the van. The temperature hadn't really dipped below 35 degrees all the trip. It did get quite cool in the evenings, thankfully. The dizziness, the altitude, all kind of drifted away, and we spent the Friday evening sat in traffic on the M25, eh? What can you do? So yeah, that was our potted alpine trip report. We'll be back with a regular podcast on Wednesday. I understand the Vuelta and the Tour of Britain have been majorly exciting, so I'll obviously be getting onto Sky Plus to catch up. Until then, have a fantastic couple of days, and I'll speak to you soon. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.